shout. Come on, give God a shout.
Hallelujah. What an awesome day. How many of you love Jesus? As we explain, service today is going to be a little bit different. So why don't you, before you sit down, shake hands with at least five people you do not know and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Go find somebody you don't know and shake their hand and tell them good morning. Good morning, sunshine.
I was lost with a broken heart. You bring me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash, I am born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You were more than my words could say. I follow you.
Own class right now. You can head out to the back door right on this side. We'll make sure that Pastor Cody's back there, and they'll direct you where you need to go. So all young people that are middle school age, if you'll make your way there.
Hey family, guess what? We have our annual family picnic coming up in just a few weeks. On August 13th after second service at the Harris Hill Youth Camp, you're all invited to join us for a time of food, fun, games, and fellowship. Please bring an extra large dish to pass so that we can all have more than enough food to feast on. So again, that'll be after second service on August 13th at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. We can't wait to see you there.
We have, on August 6th, our Awaken Monthly Service. It's going to be at 5:30 p.m. It's going to be so much fun. We had our slip and slide kickball last month. This month, it's going to be an end of summer party, and it is going to be great. We're going to have free food, free drinks, and a lot of games and a full service. So we will see you here at 5:30, August 6th.
Yes, welcome to the 11 a.m. service. Y'all got 2 more hours of sleep, so I need y'all to shout a little bit louder than that. Come on, good morning. Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so excited that you could be here. If this is your first time here, can I just see your hand slip up? Don't be shy. There we go, amen. Come on, give it up for our first-time guests. Please keep your hand lifted up. We have a gift for you. There's one right here. Awesome. Inside that gift, you'll find out some information about us and also a mug as well. And after service, if you could so join us on this side of the building for a guest reception, You get to meet our senior pastors, some other people on staff, and we'd love to just get to know you a little bit more, okay? Live stream, we love you guys. We want to welcome you. Come on, give it up for our live stream. You guys are family. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining in every single week so faithfully. We love you for that. I want to just recap a few announcements. This week is the Uproar Conference. Come on. Yeah. Literally, thousands of youth across the country are coming in to Elmira, New York to hear from God, to get a supernatural impartation from God. And we are so excited. We want to just thank the Lord for Pastor Cody and Mindy Spencer for their hearts, for the youth of this region. So if you're a part of the volunteer team, a quick reminder that you guys have a volunteer meeting today at 1:30 at First Arena. And even if you're not going to be a volunteer, you still have the opportunity to sow into the youth of this community and across the entire country. So if you would so like to, as that offering time comes, really seek deep in your heart, how can you begin to contribute towards that, okay? The youth of this region, every dollar goes towards winning their souls. Amen? Amen? We are so thankful that God has graced us with the opportunity to win the youth for the kingdom of God. August 13th, we're going to have our annual family picnic up at Harris Hill Youth Camp. We want to just encourage you and to remind you to bring an extra large dish to pass, as well as your own drinks. It's going to be fun. Be lots of games and food, and we get to make fun of Pastor as he's on the guitar. It's going to be a great and phenomenal time. Amen? Who here loves education? Yeah, good. Everyone that raised their hands, y'all better be in Next Steps. Shout Next Steps. Awesome, awesome. So step one is rock solid faith every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and Thursday evening. Step two is with me. We're studying spiritual warfare in that classroom over there Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And if for some reason you were crazy enough to take your education to the next level, we do have a Bible college here. We have classes starting in about 4 weeks. So if you were that crazy, I need you to come and see me after service, and I'd love to speak with you. Amen? At this time, I'd like to bring up Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. God is so good. As we're entering into this time of tithes and offerings, we've talked from the Word of God, not from a pastor's perspective, of what the word tithe means. The actual word tithe is defined by 10%. And then the Word of God declares that the tithe, 10%, is holy to the Lord. It belongs to God, not to us. And so there's something that can happen when we aren't obedient to the Word of God. And sometimes we are left frustrated. So I want to help you today and educate you on what the Word of God says about when we choose to not honor God with our tithes and offerings. And let's read in Haggai 1, verse 6. And it's talking about how in this passage, God is proclaiming that you have taken care of your house and neglected my house and have chosen not to be obedient. So the Word of God says that his actual blessing was lifted. That is not any place I want to be, is where the blessing of the Lord has been lifted. And so in the finance, it says Haggai 1:6, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. And this is what happens when our finances aren't supernaturally blessed by God. We want to walk in that place of blessing. We're in famine. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing, but we are blessed supernaturally by the hand of God. But this is what happens, according to the Word of God, when we aren't faithful in taking care of God's house with our tithe and our offerings. And so we don't want to be in this place, right? So after this was spoken to the children of Israel, they changed their ways, and it says the blessing of the Lord returned to them. So some of us today, We need to get the blessing of the Lord to return to our homes. We need to break off any kind of curse that's been on our finances through disobedience, because we deserve. God created us to walk in abundant life. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of God. It's Deuteronomy 28. And in this house, we just repeat and declare what the word of God says. So opposite of having holes in your pockets, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Now, as you're coming to bring your tithes and offerings, real quickly, we are still in the generous campaign. And our first huge outreach, massive amount of souls. Hold on one moment. Massive amount of souls coming into the kingdom this week is uproar. This event is $65,000. Wow. And we are reaching all across the United States. They just told us that they have 60 coming from Houston, Texas. They're coming from all over. And we have the opportunity to sow into souls. So the generous campaign, if you came prepared to give and you want to sow into that, the golden buckets are up here for your generous seed offering. The wicker baskets are here for your tithe. So as you bring them forward, bring your tithe to the wicker basket and your seed to sow into the golden bucket. Go ahead and come and bring your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button, or you can choose to text to give right along with us.
There's a miracle in this world with my name on it. There's a healing in this world, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this world with my name. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room with my name on it. So I'm gonna put a praise on.
This week, we are going to actually practice what we're going to preach right after this message. I'm very excited about it. First service was packed right out. People were just having a great time in the presence of the Lord. Today, we've been talking about the generous presence of God. You know, it amazes me on how many churches, and I'm not judging, but I'm telling you the facts. There are many churches right now that are happening across the United States of America. They're having a level of praise, or having a level of worship. They're having somebody preach the message, but there is no presence of God. And I want you to recognize that in these last days, especially in these last days, there's a need to pursue the presence of the Lord more than ever before in your life. Many people do not and have not even experienced the presence of the Lord. And today I want to challenge you. You're going to have an experience with the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning, because we are going to create an atmosphere. Everybody shout, I love the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about how you can never, ever step back and just accept going to church. You have got to go to a church. You've got to be in the presence of God, not just in the building, but every single day. In fact, pursuing His presence must be a passion that's bursting within your heart. Why? Because when all is said and done, the only thing that we can take with us is the understanding and growing in the presence of the Lord. The Bible talks about it in Exodus chapter 33. We started touching it last week. And that was what Moses said. How many of you love Moses? Moses! Moses said this to the Lord. He said, "Then Moses said to God, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here.'" You see, something happened in the life of Moses where he recognized, even after seeing the Red Sea opened up, even after seeing all the miracles and the signs and wonders, what matters was not the signs and the wonders, because signs and wonders do not keep people saved. What keeps people saved, serving God, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's that everyday experience with God, where it's not just a fictitious mindset, "Well, I believe in the Lord," but He is alive and real in your life because His presence is vibrant. You see, the Lord wants to make His presence so powerful in your life that no matter where you are living in the literal presence of God, and those around you will know that He's alive. You and I are the carriers of heaven. You and I are the carriers of His presence. For the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. You see, we can have this building, and this is called an environment. We have environments all the time. We have environments of church. We have environments of home. We have environments at work. We have environments with friends. We have environments everywhere. But the fact is that without the presence of the Lord, without the atmosphere of heaven, then their true void is there. Without God in that atmosphere, then everything is only temporarily driven and can only have life that can sustain what this world has to offer. But when you and I are living in the vibrant presence of the Holy Spirit, when you and I are pursuing, even as Moses declared, "I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going to the right. I'm not going to the left. I'm not moving forward. And I am definitely not stepping back unless the presence of the Lord is going first." We've got to get that in our spirit. Many of us don't live in the presence of the Lord. Many of us live our life and we come to church and expect the presence of the Lord to be here. But I want you to recognize this is just a building. This is not the church. The true church are the sons and daughters of the Most High King. The true church is you. Turn to someone and say, "You're the church." God does not inhabit places made with hands. God inhabits His sons and His daughters. So when we, the people of God, recognize how to move in the presence of God, recognize how to foster the presence of the Lord, then we can create an atmosphere that no matter where we are, whether good times or bad, stress or strain, or whether we're living in a great blessing, we can always know that the presence, the atmosphere of God is there, and we can live in peace. Can I hear an amen? I don't know about you, I love the presence of the Lord. Moses didn't stop there. In fact, this is what he said. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us?" What was the difference between all the other people of the world? What was the difference between all the other nations that were represented on the planet at that time? There's only one thing that was different, and that is that the children of Israel were recognized because they carried the presence of the Lord. Many of us, we all work. Come on now, we go to work. We go to Walmart. We go to Dick's Sporting Goods. Glory to Jesus. We go to Field and Stream. We go and we do our life. But the question is not that where we go. The question is who goes with us. When we recognize how to live in the presence of the Lord, the difference won't come because you have the name Christian on your head or because you go to His tabernacle. It's just a place. What the difference is, the people will recognize because you exercise the atmosphere of heaven that wherever you are, the presence of the Lord can be found. This is why it's so easy to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You don't have to bring them to church. This is how it's so easy to lead someone to Jesus out on the streets. Why? Because you don't need to bring them to church. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is not just here. This is where the corporate anointing is. This is where the corporate presence is. But you and I carry the presence of God everywhere we go. And wherever we go, there's a need to make sure that he is experienced. That's the power of being a believer, is that they will know us because the presence is with us. That wherever we are, they'll be able to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. They'll be able to experience the presence that God is there. And when they experience that, you can doubt religion all you want, but you can't doubt the presence of God. Moses made this declaration. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the other people upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. How many of you are glad that God knows you by name? If that's the whole prayer, then I don't know about you, that's a pretty good prayer. That was a pretty good request by Moses. God, I'm not going anywhere without your presence. In fact, all of us will be known not because of our name, not because we're called Israel, but because your presence goes with us. But this is what he said at the end. Please, God, show us your glory. See, there is a difference between the glory of God and the presence of God. And what's happened is there are many believers today who never learn how to live in the presence of God and will then never experience the true glory of God. The presence of God is where the anointing is released. And we're going to talk about the verse in the book of Ezekiel a little bit later, how the anointing can be ankle deep, can be knee deep, can be waist deep, or you can swim in the presence of the Lord. But the glory of God, the word glory means weightiness. It's when the presence of the Lord is so strong, the presence of the Lord is so heavy, it declared it in the book of Chronicles, that the presence of the Lord was so powerful in the presence of the priest in the tabernacle that they could not even stand in his presence. You see, I don't know about you. I don't want just to be knee deep. I don't want just to be waist deep. I don't want just to swim in the presence of the Lord. I want all that Jesus has. I want God's glory. I want his power so prevalent and resident in this house and in my house and in my life that God is going to get glory in every part of my life. And therefore, my life has truly made a difference. You see, I want to see God's glory, but you can't have God's glory until you recognize his presence. We have a lot of folks that come to church. I'm talking here and I'm talking everywhere. I said it last week. People that miss 2 and 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row, that's really not the problem. That's nothing more than a symptom. The problem is that when you can miss 3 and 4 weeks in a row and it's no big deal, you no longer are pursuing the presence of God. That's the real issue. The real issue is that not the factor of the church building and church attendance and putting George Washington in a plate. The real issue is the matter of the heart. And God wants us to get back to longing for the most important process that we have and availability that we have before us. And that is, I want to be in the presence of God no matter how much, no matter how long, no matter what I got to do. I've got to pursue God's presence and I've got to be where he is. I want to be saturated with that anointing. I want to be saturated with his presence so much that everybody in the world around me will see that God is alive and God is real. So many of us are satisfied with just church. I'm not satisfied with church. You know, there are churches you can go to, you're out in an hour, baby, lickety split. They do 15 minutes of worship, 20 minutes of worship, preach 20 minutes, take a little bit of an offering, and everybody's home. There are many thousands upon thousands of people that are okay with that. And that's all right if you want to be okay with that. But you see, I've got to have the presence of God. I've got to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the house. I've got to have God touching and changing supernaturally people's lives. I've got to see the glory of God. I've got to have God's presence where all of a sudden during worship, you can't even stand. I've got to have it during worship that I'm so surrendered that, Lord Jesus, whatever you want to speak to me, I'm willing to hear. God, I want the anointing. I want your presence. I want your power. I want your glory to shine in this house. You see, I can't be satisfied with religion I've got to have the presence of God. If you don't get that in your spirit, then you can be a good religious folk and you'll be all right. But Jesus never came to build religion. He came to build a family. And in that family, he has certain promises. And the greatest promise that he has is that we can be with him. The greatest promise that we have is that we can be in his presence. You know, we've come into an era of disrespect and dishonor. And the Lord wants to bring understanding to our hearts that we are not talking about going to church and going to religion. We're talking about creating an atmosphere for the Lord. You see, every one of us in this room have as much of God as we want. Every one of us in this room have as much God as we desire. The Word of God says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So every one of us have as much of the anointing, have as much of the presence of the Lord as we desire. We can blame, and people do all the time, they can blame their circumstances. They can blame their preacher. They can blame their church. They can blame their spouse. They can blame everything they want, but the Bible does not say that. The Word of God says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you want the presence of the Lord, if you want God's power in your life, if you want God to manifest who he is to you, if you're hungering after him, he promises supernaturally to make sure that you're full. And the greatest part about being full in the Spirit is this, is that when you're full in the Spirit, you never get full and satisfied. It only gives you more hunger. The best part about growing in Jesus is that you never have to be truly, totally filled. You can have that dissatisfied satisfaction. Can I hear an amen? We're called to create an atmosphere. I was sharing last week about my wife. We gave some examples. And if you know, if I wanted to go on a beautiful romantic date with my wife, you know, and the only time we've ever danced was at Jade and Chad's wedding, and I stepped on her toe during practice and peeled her toenail back and brought a lot of blood. So whenever I dance with her now, I'm not allowed to move my feet. But if I'm dancing romantically with my wife, we got some beautiful music playing, maybe Diana Krall. Glory to Jesus. I'd move my feet a little. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And she's worried. And we're just dancing and loving each other's presence. I'm creating an atmosphere for love. Love is in the air. You create an atmosphere, right? But last week when I did this example, remember we brought her up, and all of a sudden we broke into what? We broke into screamo. You can't dance to that. Why? It's a different atmosphere. The atmosphere, listen, when I was on the road as an event, actually with the drama team with my Bible school, I remember going into a house, and what we used to have to do is stay at people's homes. So I went into this house, and very rarely were we ever alone. We were always with somebody. They always buddied us up. And I ended up going to this house alone. It was with an elderly lady, and it was in Baltimore, Maryland. And I went to her house, and she fed me. It was nice. I said, well, you know, I'm kind of tired. I'd like to turn in. And she said, okay. She walked out to the living room, took a curtain, whack, stretched it across the middle of the room. She goes, I sleep on this side. You sleep on that side. It was a very bad atmosphere. Stress, strain, and I got on the call. Save me. But I've also been to houses, and maybe it's your house. I've been to houses where the presence of the Lord has permeated the very flooring. The presence of the Lord has permeated every room. The glory of God is in the house. You walk in, you automatically feel peace. You automatically feel at home. You feel at rest. It is just why. It's the atmosphere of the house. When we come to the house of the Lord, our job is to create an atmosphere. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that flows down over the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his garment, and all the way to his feet. It's there that the Lord commands his blessing. Psalms 133. The blessings of the Lord are where the corporate anointing. What's corporate anointing? One shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. It's when we come together as one, with one heart, with one accord, like they were in the book of Acts, and the Holy Ghost was poured out, like they were in Acts chapter 4, and the Holy Ghost, the place where they were shaken by the power of God. You see, I want you to know that God loves to pour out his presence. God loves to pour out his presence. And when God's presence is in the house, there's not one thing that you have that God cannot meet need of. You see, this is the difference between going to church and creating an atmosphere. But this atmosphere is not just for church. We should be carrying the atmosphere to our workplace. We should be carrying the atmosphere in our cars. We should be carrying the atmosphere at our homes. We should be carrying the atmosphere. Listen, you can change atmosphere really quick. Can I hear an amen? My wife and I were getting ready to go on a date, and it was going to be a beautiful date, and the word was is a key there. And it was just, you know, we were just going to have a great time. And, you know, my job as a husband is to create an atmosphere to where she feels love and she feels taken care of and that she's beautiful and special and safe. And that's my job. That's my job as a husband, to create that atmosphere for my wife. And let's move on. And so, you know, we're all ready for the date, and she walks out, and I looked at her, and I said, boy, that's kind of tight. How many of you know the atmosphere changed very quickly? It changed fast. It went from life to death. Atmospheres are powerful. In fact, learning how to create atmospheres are everything for your life. And learning how to create the atmosphere for God to come is everything for your spirit. When you're not willing to create the atmosphere for God, then ultimately God is always standing outside of the house, knocking to come in, wondering if you're ever going to allow him to come into your house and to participate with your life. But Moses said, listen, the only difference between us and every other nation that's on this planet is that the presence of the Lord goes with us. Does the presence of the Lord go with you? Have you created and fostered an atmosphere for God to be with you, or do you just pick him up once a week at church? Do you do visitation, or is there habitation? Ooh, that was tweetable. Write that down. That's not even in my notes. Is it visitation, or is it habitation? Because in the habitation of the atmosphere for God, I want you to recognize, no matter what the devil wields against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You have the shield of faith that will ward off every fiery dart of the enemy, according to the book of Ephesians. You can stand as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But it's all dependent upon the atmosphere that you create. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the worship team. Honestly, it's funny because, you know, I was saying this the first service, and I said, first service, you know, there are times we've had such a phenomenal atmosphere for God during praise and worship that the anointing was so strong, people are getting healed, and people's lives are being changed, and people are submitting to the Lord. I said, it's just phenomenal. I said, but sometimes we go to second service, and it's dead as a doornail. And, you know, that you could feel the pride welling up inside of them, and I said, vice versa. I've gone to second service where, man, we look at the worship team, we're saying, play some blood songs because there's no atmosphere here for God. And we've gone to first service where, man, you just get up in the morning, you think that they're still sleeping because the atmosphere is not conducive for God's presence to fill the house. This has nothing to do with their gift. This has nothing to do with my gift. This has to do with you and I together. This has to do with the family of God, recognizing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and bringing him honor and respect and coming into his house and living for him in praise and worship. Can I hear an amen? You see, we create the presence of the Lord, the atmosphere for God to come. It's interesting. As an evangelist, when I was an evangelist, I would go to a city or a town. And, you know, as an evangelist, the Lord bless us. We were very successful, and I did not want to come off the road to start this church. It was such an enormous outpouring of God's Spirit. I've been in services where I've just released the anointing, and literally whole sections of people would go out in the Spirit at the exact same time. I've been in places where I've laid hands on people. I've come close to land, and literally they would be picked up and thrown four or five rows back. And they got up and they said, did you see the power of God? Did you see the electric? I've been places where, in Winchester, Massachusetts, where a man who had a plate in his head from an accident had nothing behind his ear. God created behind his ear, and he could now hear. Blind eyes being able to see in Georgia. People with multiple sclerosis could not even bend over, could now get up and walk and run around. Man whose back was so blown on, he couldn't even work. He was a heating specialist. Couldn't even do work anymore, but God healed his body and made him free. I saw miracle after miracle, signs and wonders, cancers. This one woman up in Cortland, New York said, I got breast cancer so bad, all the lumps are even visible from the outside. I said, I'm not interested in seeing. I said, watch this. God's going to heal you right now. In the name of Jesus, I curse the life that's in the cancer. And I command right now the healing power of Jesus to be released. I said, now go to the bathroom with this other sister. Come back. You're going to find that every one of those tumors is gone. And she came back and she said, every tumor is gone. Glory to God. I've seen miracles and signs and wonders. Last year, my wife got a miracle, diagnosed with cancer in her colon. But God set her free within 7 days. The power of God and proof, not just fictitious, but miraculous proof, as we would look at simply at doctor's reports and doctor's pictures. I would go into regions and I would go into these places, and man, the miracles would just pop all over the place. But many times as a pastor, you come in and you aren't allowed to move that way. Why? Because people become so familiar, they no longer draw from your gift. The atmosphere that we create allows God to move in the dimension that he wants to. When the church does not come in ready to prepare an atmosphere, then God stays aloof. Does everybody know what aloof is? That's an old person's word. Aloof simply means he steps back and watches but does not participate. And I don't know about you. I can't handle that. I don't know about you. That is unacceptable to me. I cannot be part of an organization. I cannot be part of the church. I cannot be part of a religion. I cannot be part of a relationship with a God who doesn't touch me, who's not real to me, who's not alive to me. I've got to get into his presence. And God is real. He is risen from the dead. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. And we all who are born again have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And it's time to learn how to tap into the presence of God, that no matter where you are, you can enter into his glory. And that is not an accident. Just like telling my wife her outfit was tight was an accident, and I chose not to ever do that one again. The prophets learned how to create an atmosphere. This is not a new topic. It's not a new thing. How many of you know Elisha, the great prophet of God? He did twice the amount of miracles as Elijah. One day he was working, and all of a sudden the guy he was working with had borrowed an axe, and the axe head fell off and it dropped into the stream. And he looked at Elisha and he said, oh my goodness, it was a borrowed axe head. And Elisha had no big deal. Watch this. Threw a stick in and it floated. Picked it up. Miracle. Miracles were part of this dude's life. It was a normal process. One day, Jehoshaphat said to him, he said, I need to hear the word of the Lord for us to go into battle. And so Elisha came into the presence of the king and asked this specific question. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. But Elisha now said this, but now bring me a musician. And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. The prophet of God realized that the praise and worship is not just songs, but the praise and worship creates the atmosphere for God to be welcome in our place. You see, even why and what we do with the praise and worship team, they don't just get up here and pick a song or two and whip it off and good luck. Man, we pray over the songs. Why? Because we want the presence of the Lord in this house. For when the worship goes up, the power comes down. When the worship goes up, the presence becomes manifested. And I want the presence of the Lord. So we've got to learn how to worship. You know, it was kind of funny before when we were at our last location. When praise and worship began, there were usually about 100 men sitting out in the foyer. When worship ended, the guys came in. Gentlemen, you might sing as bad as I, but I want you to know something, that God loves to hear you sing. God wants to hear you worship. God wants to hear your voice. He wants you to create an atmosphere. Listen now, I could never pick up my guitar, go outside my wife's bedroom, and start playing lullabies. If I did, the coyotes in the back hill would start to howl, and man, I'd be afraid for my life. But I do know she loves me so much, it would move her. I said that by faith, looked for a nod. The truth is that God wants to hear your worship. God longs to hear your worship. Watch that. That's not the only place in the scripture. How about when Saul was, the spirit of God was extracted from him and a devil spirit came upon him? Man, when that demon was upon Saul, King Saul, and was irritating him and trying to create problems for his life, do you know what he would do? He would call David, and David would come and play songs, and David would play the songs, and the Bible says it would soothe the spirit of Saul. How about when Paul and Silas were in the prison? Man, they just were not in trouble. Man, they had their backs beaten to a pulp by chains and by whips, and they were thrown into the lowest part of the dungeon, and they were tethered down. There was human feces down there, urine down there, rats running around, and man, they were not only just hog-tied down there by being put in the shackles, but they also, their backs were bleeding. They had the snot kicked out of them. But I want you to know they had an opportunity. They could have sat there and said, where's God? I don't know. I got put here because of him. If he was just a good God, I wouldn't be in this situation. No, he was smart enough to do this. He said they did this. They started to praise and they started to worship. And the praise and the worship created an atmosphere. I want you to know it's never too low for God to hear you. Listen now, you're never too much bondage for God to care about you. Woo, Jesus. You see, God loves you and God longs to be with you. But creating the atmosphere for the presence of the Holy Spirit is where God will bring forth the supernatural manifestation of his love to your life. Woo! Sorry. I felt good about that. I didn't care if you did. It was a good flow. Jesus. Just telling Terry in the back, sometimes I wake up in the middle of my preaching. I'll bless myself. It's not just enough to create an atmosphere. You got to keep an atmosphere. Keeping the atmosphere is powerful because, listen, gentlemen, if you learn this, life changes at home. You can change the entire atmosphere of your house in seconds. You look at your spouse and say, baby, you look hot. I mean, she just came out of bed. She's got her bunny little things on. She's got her fluffy nightgown on. And her hair is sticking up in every direction. She has eye makeup sliding down the middle. She looks like she just came out of a horror movie. You know, and you know, let's just be honest. It's just not a pretty situation. And you're not running up and say, kiss me, because she hasn't brushed her teeth yet. But if you look at her and say, hey, boy, you stink. You know, I'd hug you, I'd love you, but you know, you ain't pretty. How many of you know life stops? But But you can change the atmosphere by telling her what you see. Baby, you are beautiful. I'm still not kissing you, but I love you. And can I have a hug this morning? You are beautiful. You see, this is about relationship. And God is a good God, and he's greatly to be praised. God is always good and never bad. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is on your side. He's not against you. He's for you. For if God is for you, who can be against you? He's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Success is in front of you. You see, with God on your side, you cannot fail. And God never wakes up with bunny slippers on. And so you can always compliment him. You can always start to praise him. You can always start to worship him. Even in your deepest dungeon, I want you to know he can hear you. In your deepest place of despair, God hears you. And when you start to praise him and worship him, you create an atmosphere. And you can keep that atmosphere. You don't need to drive it away. Are you out there this morning? Can I hear an amen? You see, maintaining is powerful. And we're the ones who either maintain it or drive it out. You know, the scripture talks about this, about how many people drive out the presence of the Lord. One of the greatest ways to drive away the presence of the Lord from your life is a life of disobedience. Disobedience, the Bible says, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. Obedience always make sure that the presence of the Lord is present. When we start living a life of disobedience, the presence of the Lord will step back. Now, this is not a really good, you know, I love the believers these days. Well, you know, I made a statement the other day and quoted two scriptures about how the Lord says, don't hang out with those folk that are not serving the Lord who call themselves believers. And someone said, well, that doesn't sound merciful at all. But it had nothing to do with mercy. It had to do with the Bible. Blame Paul, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Not you, Paul. I mean, just blame Paul. He's in the second row. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve means what? It means to offend. Do you know you can offend God? Another word they use is make sad. You can make God sad. You can make God upset. You can offend him. And when you offend the presence of the Lord, he leaves. I was in Long Island one time preaching the gospel. And I had a word of knowledge concerning somebody, and a woman came up, and it was kind of like a scary moment, because when you have a word of knowledge and you call it forth, you're waiting for someone to respond to the word of knowledge, because you know it was the Lord. So I stood there, and they weren't moving. And I said, really? If that's you, you need to come forward. Nobody's moving. I'm saying, Jesus, I look really dumb here right now. I know what you told me. All right, is there anybody else? And so finally this woman popped up. Thank you, Jesus. She came up front. I says, you know, it took you a long time to get here. She goes, well, you know, I wasn't sure if it was me or somebody else. I said, do you have that symptom? Yes, well, then it was you. She came up, and we prayed for her. And I looked at her arm, and her arm was up into her body like this. And I said, what's wrong with your arm? And she said, well, I was born with a birth defect, and my shoulder doesn't move. And I said, well, the same God that heals will heal that. And she said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to pray, and God's going to set you free. And so I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she left with her arm still up in her body the same way she came. The next night, she came to church, and she was a visitor, and she went into the wrong parking lot and reached up and accidentally shifted for the very first, she didn't even think about it. She just reached up with her right hand and shifted on the column into reverse. Freaked herself out. God did a miracle right there in the car and set her completely free. And man, she shifted and her arm was, she had full mobility ever since the born with a birth defect. She came to church, man. She got into the right parking lot, came into the building. She was so excited, man. She's running around. She's praising God. She gave her testimony. She's dancing. And a man jumped up and he said, thus saith the Lord. How many of you know God doesn't prophesy in King James Version? It would be Hebrew, if anything. Thus saith the Lord, that thou art grieving me, because thou hast danced in the flesh and not in the spirit. And literally, you felt the presence of the Lord go. Shoo. I looked at the preacher. I said, you going to handle this or me? Well, he didn't have the chutzpah, so I stood up. And I said, sir, sit down and be quiet. You're out of order. In fact, what you just said was not God. I said, this woman right here just got a miracle. And she's dancing and shouting because she's set free in the name of Jesus. But what happened was, when he stood up and did that, he grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and the presence of the Lord left the church. And I looked at the church and I said, okay. Well, he left, by the way, too. He was really mad. I was okay with that. It wasn't my church. It's the great part about being an evangelist. I said, we've got to reestablish the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to come. And we started to worship again. And she gave her testimony. And man, people's hearts were starting to be stirred. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere for God returned to that sanctuary. And the presence of the Lord just filled everybody. And people were healed that night. People were saved that night. People were delivered that night. The presence of God was evident that night. Why? Because God loves to be in the presence of his people. He longs to be where you are, no matter whether it's in your car, whether it's in the church building, whether it's, well, yeah, he wants to be where you are. You know, a lot of people grieve the Holy Spirit in their lifestyle. We want the presence of God, but we don't want to live the life of God. Boy, it did get quiet in here. We've got to make decisions in our life, and that is simply this, is that the presence of the Lord is more important. Listen, you can have everything. You can have all the wealth of the world and still be unsatisfied. How many comedians do we know that have millions and millions of dollars in the bank that have killed themselves? They're funny to everybody else, but their life is not funny. Why? Because their life is a mess. They have everything the world has to offer, but they don't have the one who made the world. I've got to have the presence of God. You see, all the things of the earth become blessed because of his presence. Not the things become blessed because they're things. They're nothing but stuff that comes and goes. And I want you to recognize, we've got to have a hungering and a thirsting for the Holy Spirit. We've got to again get back to the house of God being about creating, fostering an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to come in such a dimension that lives are transformed. Church will not save you. Church will not deliver you. Church will not hear you, heal you. Only the presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. So you can grieve, you can make upset, you can offend the Holy Spirit, and you can quench him. What does it mean to quench? It means to extinguish, stifle. Do you realize, as the pastor of this church, I have the right to tell the Holy Spirit not to move here? The Bible says the Spirit is subject to the prophet. I have the right. And you know, there are churches all over this nation that are having church today. They're having a song service that's no presence. They're having preaching with no presence. And people are walking out with no presence, which means no change. As the pastor, I have the right to quench the Holy Spirit. I have the right to tell him to stop. I have the right to say, you have no right to move in this building. It can have the name church on it all you want, but the prophet of the house has the right to tell the Spirit of God he will yield. Why? Because he's a gentleman, and the Spirit of the Lord will not move if the atmosphere, if for him to come, is not desired. And you see, in this house, that is just not an option. That is not an option. I will step back any second to let the Spirit of God move. Why? Because you don't need me preaching another word. You don't need another song sung by the worship team. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit that gets deep inside and changes you by the Spirit of the Lord, by the miraculous power of Jesus. You and I need Christ. We don't need another religion. So you can grieve, and some of us grieve him. We go places, man. We take God in places. Ooh. Ooh. There's a difference between quenching and grieving. Quenching sometimes is just because you're ignorant. But grieving is, you know he said no, and you're still doing it. One of the greatest ways to stop the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, one of the greatest ways to drive out the presence of God from your life is sin. But pastor, I'm not running around drinking, smoking, toking, doing all the other nasty things. I'm not doing that, pastor. But you see, sin is not just what you do, it's what you know you should do that you don't. For if you know that it's sin and you don't do it, you're sinning. Let me say that again. No, we'll just leave that there. You know, I looked at it. I'm almost done. Another 2 hours will be done. Ooh, I love you in the back. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 is so powerful because it says this. When Adam and Eve, now you got to see the picture of Adam and Eve. God created a garden for them. He created a place where his presence was prominent. I'm talking like, no, even if he wasn't walking in the cool of the day, the presence of the Lord was normal there. The presence of the Lord was powerful there. It had the tree of life there. It had the presence and the glory, the joy. They didn't have one day of discouragement. They lived in the joy of the Lord. Why? Because the presence of God was permeating every portion of the Garden of Eden. And then every day they had the privilege of walking with him and talking with him. Can you imagine the presence of God where literally you're physically in his presence? You will one day. But they chose something. You see, we choose decisions. We make decisions in our life that drive the presence of God out. Some of you think so badly. You speak so badly. You live so badly. Oh, pastor, don't be judgmental. I'm trying to help you. You can go to the church down the street, man, and I promise they're only going to say nice things to you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'd rather you hear the truth and have your life changed than end up in the wrong location when you wake up from hell. You see, we've got to have a reality check, and that is that God's presence is powerful, and we need the presence of the Lord. But the presence of the Lord never remains where sin is. Oh, I didn't hear much on that one. The presence of the Lord is driven out by sin. The presence of the Lord is driven out by sin. The presence of the Lord is driven out by sin. Amen and amen. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said to his wife, hide thyself from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Watch this. People that are in sin hide from the presence of the Lord. Why is that? Well, because it's uncomfortable going to a church where they're going to preach conviction. It's much easier to go into one of those grace churches that everybody's fine and dandy and all dogs go to heaven. Truth is that not everybody goes to heaven. I can't tell you how many funerals I've gone to where the guy lived like hell and everybody said, but he's in a better place. And I wanted to say, no, he's a hurting puppy. Everybody wants to think their relative went to heaven. But the Bible says if you don't confess the Lord in your heart, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you cannot be saved. There's only one name under heaven which you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus. It's not religion. It's not being a good person. It's not being sincere. There's only one way, the blood that will wash away every single stain. Can I hear an amen? And when you and I are living in a sinful lifestyle, the presence of the Lord steps back. I remember talking to an individual who, as a young person, was moving very powerfully in the things of the Spirit. And they walked away from God. I remember one Sunday night, this individual stood up on a Sunday night. I don't think that individual was any more than 15 years old. And just started weeping out loud for souls. I mean, she was so moved by the presence of the Holy Spirit that she was so moved that somebody would not be going to heaven. And she walked away from the Lord. Went into a very horrible lifestyle. Everything you could imagine is what this young lady did. And one day that person called me on the telephone and said, "Hi, Pastor, I just wanted to touch base with you." I said, "I want you to get ready. Here comes the presence of Jesus." Hour and a half distance, but there is no distance in the presence of the Lord. And I said, "Get ready, here he comes. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing, the presence of God, right where you are now." And she just started weeping. She wasn't just dry-eyeing. She was weeping uncontrollably. And I said to her, I said, "You miss the anointing, don't you? You miss the presence of Jesus, don't you?" She said, "I go to bed every night knowing what I'm missing." Folks, you can't trade the presence of the Lord for anything on this planet. There's nothing worth trading it for. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no money, there's no fame, there's no fortune. There is nothing. There is not one thing on this planet that's worth trading the anointing, the presence of Jesus for. There's nothing worth trading for. There's no one worth trading for. You've got to determine in your heart, with all my getting, I've got to get into the presence. I've got to create an atmosphere. I've got to have God working in my life. I've got to live the God life. I refuse to allow sin to enter my life and extinguish the presence of the Lord. See, the same thing happened to Cain. He killed Abel. Genesis chapter 4, 13 and 14 says this, "And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear.'" Cain said, "Listen, God, the consequences that you're about to give me are greater than I can even bear in my own life. I can't handle what you're saying is going to happen because I killed my brother." What was it? What did God say to him? He said, "You've got to leave my presence. I want you to know there's nothing worse than leaving the presence of the Lord. There's nothing more lost than a person lost from the presence of the Lord. When you've once partaken of the table of heaven and now you step away, I want you to know that Cain said, 'Listen, I could bear almost anything else, God, but I can't bear it. It's too hard. It's too heavy.'" I've watched people trade so often. The presence of the Lord. What is it worth? You see, every one of us today have as much of the presence of God that we want. Every one of us. We can blame our husbands. We can blame our wives. We can blame our religion. We can blame our tradition. We can blame our mother. We can blame our father. But literally every one of us in this room have as much of the presence of God that we desire right now. Ezekiel makes a declaration that there are different levels in the presence of the Lord. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or swimming completely in his presence. You know, I've seen some amazing things. I've seen when the anointing, the presence of the Lord is so strong that no one even near you automatically get healed. Moms and dads, You want to know what your kids need? They need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Your children are young, man. Get them bathed and create an atmosphere in your house for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when they get to college, they're being told that everything else is real but the Holy Spirit. And man, we're losing college students hands over fists. That means families are now being destroyed. Why? Because they're not stepping into the presence of the Lord, which means they don't want and don't have, and Jesus is not their priority. You see, in the presence of the Lord, everything you need is available. What I love about the presence of God, time stops. Needs are met. Revelation is revealed. Relationships are deepened. His voice becomes clearer. His direction is proclaimed. And every one of us choose the level that we're at. What I love about the Lord is he's patient, amen? And sometimes we don't do because we just don't know. You can't use that one anymore. You came to church today. Some of you will still trade Jesus for the things of this world. You'll love the presence of the things of the world more than you'll love the presence of the Lord. And I'm praying for you. Some of you in this room might trade the presence of the Lord for something temporary, like a female or a male. Some loving, and that's temporary. I want you to know that the presence of Jesus is everything in your life. And today we're going to do something different. I preached all of that, and I did really good, time-wise. Did all of that so we'll have time to worship around the altar. I want you to learn how to create this atmosphere, not only here, but everywhere. Where when you're home, you can create the atmosphere for the Lord. When you're at work, you can create the atmosphere. It literally takes a second to create atmosphere. And every one of us can live practicing the presence of Jesus, rather than doing our visitation on Sunday morning. I want you to know there's great satisfaction in the presence of the Lord. You see, that's why I love Jesus so much. When hard times start to knock on my door, I get into praise and worship like Paul and Silas. Why? Because I know in his presence, there's fullness of joy. I'd like you to stand to your feet with me this morning. The great part about this service is that there doesn't have to be an end. The first service there did. We actually brought the young men and young women into this room that are a part of the middle school class. We brought them in here because they need to learn how to flow in the Holy Spirit. Listen, the quicker your children learn the presence of God, when Satan is tempting them, the stronger they'll be to resist. Your kids will go to hell in a handbasket if they don't learn the presence of the Lord. Because that means they have nothing that's tangible to keep them tethered down. Just religion. Religion isn't strong enough. Jesus is the one that's strong enough. Amen. This morning, this is what we're going to do. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. You can do whatever you want. But this is what I'm going to ask you to do as your pastor. I'm going to ask you not to remain in the seat that you're in. What? I don't want you to be comfortable. I want to take you out of what you're controlling right now. And I want you to learn how to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn how to step into a place of atmosphere. Now, we all worship different. Some of us are loud. Some of us, you know, cry. Some of us kneel. Some of us sit. It doesn't matter the position of your body. It matters the position of your heart. But this is what I want to do. Is I don't want you sitting in the same seat you're in, and who you came with, I don't want you within 10 feet of them. What? I don't want you within 10 feet because I don't want you to be intimidated and not step into presence. Sometimes we don't step into presence because we're intimidated by the person next to us. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, I don't want to scare them. I don't want them to think you're weird. You are weird. The Bible says you're a peculiar people. You have heaven available for you. That's what matters. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to come up front, grab some rug, go find a place in the back. Unless you have to leave, please don't leave. We want you to foster, learn how to create the atmosphere of heaven. I know some of you are intimidated to do this. Come on, just do it. You'll be all right. My goodness, for 15 minutes, you can do anything for 15 minutes. Some of you sit on the can longer than 15 minutes. You don't even have to come to the front. You can sit near the back, but I want you to get out of your comfort zone, and I want you to create an atmosphere of worship. Now, if you're fresh here, you might see people raise their hand and you're wondering what that's about. That simply means this. If I had a gun, stuck it in your chest and said, stick them up, give me all your money, you're going to go like this. That means you surrender. When you see people raising your hands here at the church, it just simply means they're surrendering. That's it. Nothing weird. Outward expression of what they're trying to say inside. And so today, I want us to step into creating an atmosphere. Now watch. If you learn it here, it means you can take it anywhere. Anywhere. Dads and moms, you need to create the atmosphere with your children every day. That will keep them tethered when the world starts to call them. Are you ready? Let's worship. The first step now. Your mind is racing. You're having a hard time concentrating. Everything's running through your head. first step of creating the atmosphere is taking that into authority. So say this with me. In Jesus' name, I bring every thought and imagination into captivity. And I command my mind to be still as my spirit worships. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. God is healing somebody's right eye right now. You have pressure behind the eye. God is healing you right now. So what happens when you bring the presence, the healings come. Come on, start stepping in. Start stepping in. Healing from femoral artery on the right-hand side is a blockage. God is loosening up in Jesus' name. You'll be free. Also, person on your right kneecap, down near the bottom, but right on top of the kneecap, God is healing that right now, and Jesus is setting you free. There's another person on the ball of your foot on the left-hand side. God is healing you as well in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that wherever your presence is, there is the power to heal. Wherever your presence is, there is deliverance. God, I come against right now in Jesus' name any addictions that are in this room. I curse the power of addiction in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of addiction to come off the children of God. And Lord, I thank you that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed in Jesus' name. God, I declare by your name that, Lord, any sickness or disease that's in this room, you've got to subject yourself to the Word of God, to the blood of Christ, to the cross of Calvary, sealed by the resurrection. I declare that healing is in the house in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command minds to come clear. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you are so good. We need you, Jesus. Soft. There's Jesus.
Every hour I need you, my defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh,
somebody's left ear, goes all the way down to your throat. You have pain all the way down. Start feeling it. Open your jaw up. You'll feel the presence of the Lord just set you free in Jesus' name. Another person, you're feeling burning in your back and the muscle. It's not disc, it's more muscular in Jesus' name. I command right now the muscles to be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Respiratory problem in your right lung, top of the lung. God is healing it right now. Take a deep breath. You'll feel freedom. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus.
I surrender to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, but I surrender. holding nothing. I surrender everything. I surrender all to you. Everything I need to you.
Jesus.
Withholding nothing.
Jesus. Just Sunday. It's every day. Turn that music off in your car and just start talking to him. Start bragging on him. The favorite topic of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. You start talking about Jesus, and man, the presence of the Lord will show up. No matter where you are, if you're at work, just release the anointing wherever you are, because you're from his nation. The mark on you is the presence. No, you walk in the presence of God. This is not a Sunday thing, guys, gals. This is everyday life. One of the things about church is this. As a pastor, we want this church to grow. We want it to grow because we believe that somebody who's not saved isn't going to heaven. It's not because we need a mega congregation and it's all about mega congregation. It's about people. But you know, you can have church, you can have mega attendance and no presence. And I just refuse. We're going to have the presence of Jesus. And I know some people are not going to stay because they're going to feel uncomfortable. The presence of the Lord makes people uncomfortable. But that's okay. Because when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to change us is the presence of Jesus. And other than that, you're just religious. And religion won't get you anywhere. God's healing someone's right wrist right now. It goes from the elbow all the way up to the pinky finger. God is healing that right now in Jesus' name. You know, today, as your pastor, we just want you to know this, as your pastors, that you, Lady Karen, is that we genuinely love you.
And our heart here is simple. Please hear the heart of his tabernacle. We want you to know him and the son whom he has sent. Not know about him, but know him. And this is what we do when we create an atmosphere. We get to know him. Amen. Please, please, if you have children under the age of even 7 years old, do you know how easy it is to get your children baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues? Very easy. Get your children baptized in the Spirit. If your children are older, make sure they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you create an atmosphere for them. I'm really burdened. Last service, I actually almost cried. That was as close as I've come in probably a decade. Because while I was preaching, I literally saw people waking up in hell. And it just like grabbed me. I was taking a pack. We love you. We love your babies. We love your families. Get the presence. Create the atmosphere. And you'll always be satisfied. Amen. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like to receive him as your Lord, I'm going to be standing right over here after service is dismissed. And we'd love to have you come and receive Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure, grab your friend with you. They'll come over with. And we'll pray with you. Get your Bible. Get you set so that you can live in the presence of God. If you're in sin, get rid of it. It's not worth it. Sin is not worth the price of the presence. Amen? I said amen. It's not worth it. And live for Jesus. And you know what? You'll not only change your world, you'll change the people around you. Someone's left foot starts at your ankle on the inside top, rolls over to your ankle itself, and then shoots down to the baby toe. Whatever that pain is, you start moving your foot around, you'll find God has healed you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for his tabernacle family church. Lord, not my church, but yours, his tabernacle. And God, we always choose to allow you to do whatever you want in your house. For this is your kingdom, not ours. We are your people. And Lord, we thank you that you only give good gifts. And we love you for your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an awesome day. Stay in his presence. Foster his presence. Get up in the morning. Foster. Create the atmosphere. If you want to receive Jesus, please come down here to the front. Meet me right here.